نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Then to continue with شرح السنة of Imam Abu Muhammad al-Barbahari رحمه الله. The last time we had two points number 74 and 75. And just to very briefly mention some of the points that we had, then the first point number 74, was with regard to al-aql, the intellect. The intellect is inborn. The intellect is something created, something that's inborn in the person, and that people vary with regard to their intellect. And Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he mentioned the linguistic definition of this word al-aql, the intellect, and that in the language it indicates withholding, al-aql, so which withholds something. And the reason that the aql is called al-aql, that which withholds, literally in the Arabic language, is because it should withhold the person who has intellect from matters that are not befitting and not becoming him. So his intellect should prevent him and withhold him from doing those things. And Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that there are a number of names for the aql, for the intellect. So it's also called hijr, and nuha, and al-lubd, and so on and so forth. And he mentioned, Shaykh al-Fawzan, the point that the people, that is indeed, it is a sign that it's a secret to Allah, exactly what the intellect is and how it is one of Allah's secrets. And it is indeed a sign of Allah, the intellect, and how the people vary in their intellects. So there are some people who are complete in their intellect, such as the Prophets, the Anbiya, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And then there are some people who have no intellect, such as the insane person, the mentally retarded person, who have no intellect. And then the rest of the people in between, who vary in levels of intellect, with a very great variation in that regard, in accordance with the intellect that Allah has placed in each person. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, and the word is also, the word aql is also used for other similar matters as well, such as al-fahm, understanding. The words aql and its derivatives from the verbs can be used to refer to al-fahm, understanding as well. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, and there are some people who Allah provides them with the faculty of aql, intellect, but they are deprived of being able to correctly use it because of their disbelief. The faculty is there, they're not insane, they have the intellect as a faculty there, but Allah deprives them, covers it over and deprives them of its faculty because of their disbelief. And likewise the point that the aql, that a person having aql, having intellect, is a point which Islamic laws and regulations are made dependent upon. If a person has intellect, then the laws and duties are upon him, and reward and punishment applies to him. And the point that the author made, in Shaykh al-Fawzan emphasized, that intellect, al-aql, cannot be earned or acquired. Rather, it is a favor bestowed by Allah. A person has it, or he doesn't have it. If he doesn't have it, then he can't work for it and acquire and earn it and acquire it. However, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, a person can strengthen it. If a person has intellect, he can strengthen it, he can work upon it and strengthen it. And the means to do that, as he mentioned, is by pondering and reflecting upon the ayat of Allah, upon the signs of Allah the Most High in the creation. A person carefully reflects upon those signs. And likewise the ayat of Allah's book, the book of Allah the Most High. A person reads and reflects upon the ayahs of Allah, the book of Allah the Most High, and reflects upon what he finds therein with regard to the lessons and the mention of the previous nations and how they were destroyed and why they were destroyed. That pondering upon this can indeed strengthen a person's intellect, and does strengthen a person's intellect. Then there was the point number 75, the point that Allah the Most High has indeed favoured the servants, favouring some of them over and above others. So Allah has favoured the believer over the disbeliever, in that Allah the Most High gave him Iman. And likewise, Allah has favoured the messengers over the rest of the people. And then amongst the messengers, He has favoured some over others. And likewise the believers, Allah has favoured them, but He has favoured some over others. And there is to be no objection, no one can raise an objection and say, why did Allah raise favour that person over that person? This is not an objection, it is valid, and cannot be raised. Because all of the creation is Allah's property. Belongs to Him. It's all of it His kingdom. He can act and do within it as He wishes, because it's His. And no doubt Allah the Most High, from His wisdom, He favours some over others. So no one has the right to say, why is this one favoured over that one? No. And wherever someone is favoured, then it's in accordance with the wisdom of Allah the Most High. And Shaykh al-Fawzan made the important point that Allah has favoured, no doubt, some people with knowledge over others. He has favoured some people with wealth over others. And that again is from Allah's wisdom. And Shaykh al-Fawzan made the point that if Allah had made all the people equally rich, then no one would work and no one would produce anything. No one would need to work and produce things. So they'd just sit back and nothing will get done, nothing will get produced. Or if everyone were in a state of poverty, then the opposite would be the case. The people would be in an opposite state of deprivation. And no doubt, Allah favoured the believer, the true believer, the mu'min, over the disbeliever. Contrary to what the Mu'tazila say. That Allah, it's obligatory upon Allah, they make things binding upon Allah the Most High. That it's binding that Allah has to favour all the people equally. Has to treat all of the people equally. This isn't something false and futile, invented by their minds. Rather Allah favours whom He wishes in accordance with His wisdom. Then comes the point, and what occurs here on page 383, point number 76, the saying of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, وَلَا يَحِلُّ أَن تَكْتُمَ النَّصِيحَةَ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ برهم وفاجرهم في أمر من أمور الدين فمن كتم فقد غش المسلمين ومن غش المسلمين فقد غش الدين ومن غش الدين فقد خان الله ورسوله والمؤمنين. He said, and it is not permissible to withhold nasiha, sincere advice, from anyone from the Muslims, whether pious or impious, whether they are pious, righteous, or impious, wicked. I mean, simple. In matters of the religion. So whoever withholds it, then he has acted deceitfully towards the Muslims. And whoever acts deceitfully towards the Muslims, then he has acted deceitfully towards the religion. And whoever acts deceitfully towards the religion, then he has shown treachery towards Allah, His Messenger, and the believers. Shaykh Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, وَلَا يَحِلُّ أَن تَكْتُمَ النَّصِيحَةَ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بَرَّهُمْ وَفَاجِرَهُمْ. And it is not permissible for you to withhold nasiha, sincere advice, from anyone from the Muslims, whether they be righteous or sinful. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, an nasiha, literally, roughly translated as sincerity. An nasiha, the Shaykh said, is to be pure and free of ghish, of deceit. And a thing that is nasih, a thing that has this quality of nasiha, it's is called nasikh in the language. It is a thing that is khalis, is pure. In Arabic language, something when it is described as having the quality of nasiha, being described as nasikh, when it is a thing that is khalis, it's a thing that's pure. So the believer, it is obligatory that he should be nasikh, sincere. Meaning that he should be pure and free of hypocrisy, nifaq. And he should be pure and free of ghish, of deceptiveness. And he should be pure and free of khadi'ah, trickery, of cheating. His outward aspect and his inward aspect should be just the same with regard to truthfulness. And an-nasiha, sincerity, is the religion. It is the religion. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-din an-nasiha, ad-din an-nasiha, ad-din an-nasiha." Qulna liman ya Rasulullah? Qal لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعامتهم. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the religion is an-nasiha, sincerity. The religion is sincerity. The religion is sincerity, an-nasiha. We said, towards whom, O Messenger of Allah? So he said, towards Allah, and towards his book, and towards his messenger, and towards the rulers of the Muslims, and their common folk. In the footnote they mention the reference for this hadith that is reported by al-Bukhari in disconnected form, being brought by al-Bukhari in a chapter heading. And you'll find it there in the book of Iman, the second book, the book of Iman, chapter 42. And it's reported in connected form by Imam Muslim as hadith number 55 from a hadith of Tamim ad-Dari radiallahu anhu. And he does not contain the repetition, Imam Muslim does not have the repetition of his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ad-deenu al-nasiha. Religion is sincerity. Meaning there, in Sahih Muslim, it only occurs once that he said, ad-deenu al-nasiha. Religion is sincerity. Once only mentioned. Rather, that occurs, meaning the repetition that it was said three times, that occurs being reported by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood, and that Tirmidhi and others, and that Tirmidhi said it is Hasan, Sahih, good, authentic. Another side point, Sheikh al-Albani likewise declared it with the addition there as being Sahih, authentic. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, referring to the word an-nasiha, sincerity, he said, and what is meant by it here is that a person is free of every blameworthy characteristic, and that he adorns himself with all the noble and virtuous manners and characteristics. And he frees himself of every blameworthy khuluq, mannerism, characteristic, and that he adorns himself with the noble and virtuous manners and characteristics. So the man who is nasih, the man who has this quality of sincerity, he is the one who is not deceptive, does not have any ghish towards anyone. He is not deceptive towards anyone. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, man ghashyana falaysa minna. Whoever deceives us is not from us. In a footnote they mention, the hadith is recorded by Muslim as hadith 101 from a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and also recorded by Muslim as hadith 102 with the wording man ghasha falaysa minni, whoever deceives then he is not from me. In the first wording in Muslim is man ghashana falaysa minna, whoever deceives us then he is not from us. from the second wording reported by Muslim is Man ghashya falaysa minni. Whoever deceives is not from me. Sheikh Fawzan said, so the opposite of nasiha, sincerity, is al-ghish, deception, deceptiveness. He said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he repeated his saying, ad-deenu nasiha, the religion is sincerity, 3 times, for emphasis, and to stress its importance. And he limited the religion, all of it, to being an-nasiha, sincerity. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, mentioned explaining the hadith. He goes into explaining the wordings of the hadith. He said, an-nasiha, sincerity towards Allah and His Messenger. He said, this is with regard to aqidah, creed and belief. So a person will not be a Muslim unless his aqidah, his creed and belief is sound and is free of shirk, and his actions are free of innovations, bid'ah. And he is one who is following the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this person, he is the one who is an-nasih, the one who is sincere towards Allah and His Messenger, the one whose deeds are free of shirk and free of innovations. Just as a small side point here, then Sheikh Salih al-Suhaimi, hafizahullah, he said, with regard to this phrase, or this first part of the hadith, ad-din al-nasiha, the religion is sincerity. And then when they asked to whom, O Messenger of Allah, he said firstly, lillah, towards Allah. Sheikh Fawzan said, explain this, or rather, Sheikh al-Suhaimi said, explain firstly, sincerity towards Allah. He said, by obedience to Him, and not disobeying Him, and by implementing ubudiyya lahu, servitude towards Him, and by His tawheed, establishing His tawheed with regard to His rububiyya, lordship, and with regard to His uluhiyya, His right to all worship, sole right to all worship, and with regard to His names and attributes, and that you seek, by performance of your deeds, His face, that you are sincere in your deeds, which you carry out. So you are sincere in them, and true in them. Then Sheikh al-Fawzan, back to the explanation of Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said, sincerity towards the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to truly believe, to have iman, to truly believe in his messengership, and to love him, and to respect and honor him, alayhi salatu wassalam, and to follow him, and to follow his example, to take him as an example to follow, and to give precedence to his saying over the saying of everyone, and to leave off innovations and new introductions, which are something that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned against, and to believe him regarding whatever he informed about from the things of the unseen, of the past and the future, and to avoid whatever he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade. This is sincerity towards the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, just as a very small side point, then Sheikh al-Suhaimi, hafizahullah, he mentioned the same thing in different words or different order. He mentioned the same, more or less the same points. But he added a point also, he had a number of points from them, was sending frequent, having love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also sending salat and salam upon him. Making supplication for salat and salam upon Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I'm not just writing, meaning when we speak and when we write. He said, I'm not writing sal'an, as they do in some Arabic books. They write sad, lam, ayn, mim, sal'an. Or he said, I'm not writing just sad. You might be doing English when they put S-A-W or something. They put the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they write something S-A-W or something. The Shaykh said, they're not writing sal'an. And this sal'am is from the Rafidah. So we seek Allah's refuge from this sal'am. This is from the Rafidah. Just abridging the salat and salam. But this is from the Rafidah, Shia. Back to the explanation of Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said, he's saying, وَلِكِتَابِهِ, and towards his book. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the book of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. It is the Qur'an. Such that you have iman, that it is the speech of Allah, sent down, not created. It is not the speech of anyone else, as is said by the people of misguidance. And that you learn it, and teach it, and that you act upon it, and that you acquire understanding of its meanings, and that you reflect upon it. This is sincerity towards the book of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Learning and teaching and understanding and acquiring knowledge of it and acting upon it. And likewise, from sincerity towards the book of Allah is to be plentiful in its recitation and not to be inattentive, neglectful with regard to it. And he said, and an-nasiha, sincerity, the a'immat al-muslimin, towards the rulers of the Muslims. He said, and they are those who are in charge of the affairs, those and those in authority, that you obey them in that which is not disobedience to Allah, the Perfect and Most High, and that you do not remove your hand from obedience, and that you do not rebel against them, and that you do not seek out their mistakes and their hidden faults and expose them to the people. And from sincerity, nasiha towards them is that if you have knowledge, ilm, and you have the ability to sincerely advise them, that you do so personally between yourself and them. If you have knowledge and the ability, then you advise them sincerely, personally. You cause the advice to reach them, and you inform them about mistakes which occur from them or from their subjects. You let them know about that. But you do not speak about them in gatherings. For this would be a case of ghish, deception, treachery. So an-nasiha, sincerity, is that you convey sincere advice from yourself to them. This is from sincerity towards the person in authority. And likewise, from sincerity towards the person in authority is to carry out the duty that he puts you in charge of carrying out, whether it is a wazifa, a duty or a post, or being placed in charge of something, or other than that, from the affairs of the religion and the worldly life, that you carry the duty out which the one in authority has entrusted you with in the best manner, and you do not miss anything of it out. And if you see any deficiencies, then you inform the one in authority between yourself and him. You personally inform him. You inform him of the deficiencies so that he can remedy it. This is sincerity. And from sincerity towards those in authority is to make dua, supplication for them, that they be rectified. Since if they are sound and rectified, the subjects will be sound and rectified. And that you make dua, supplication for them. So if you see a man who is a student of knowledge, who does not make supplication for them, or who criticizes making supplication for them, then you should know that he is treacherous, ghash, and he is not one who is sincere towards the person in authority. So, and nasiha, sincerity, or he moves on to the last point of the hadith, and sincerity, li'ammatil muslimin, towards the common Muslims, is that you direct them to what is correct and you warn them against errors, and that you command the good and forbid the evil, and that you teach the one who is ignorant, and that you remind the person who is heedless, and that you love for him the good that you love for yourself, and to have compassion for the poor person, and you give charity, sadaqah, to the needy. This is an-nasiha, sincerity. And likewise, that he gives good advice to the person who consults him, and he guards secrets for one who trusts him regarding something, and to safeguard things which are entrusted with you. He should be sincere from all aspects. And sincerity is with regard to buying and selling, such that he does not deceive and does not trick. This is an-nasiha, sincerity, in brief. So whoever is not like that, then he is treacherous. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ghashana falaysa minna." Whoever deceives us, then he is not from us. Then Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, he brings another separate point, point number 77, and said, والله سبحانه وتعالى سميع بصير عليم يداه مبسوطتان يداه مبسوطتان قد علم أن الخلق يعصونه قبل أن يخلقهم علمه نافذ فيهم فلم يمنعه علمه فيهم أن هداهم للإسلام ومن به عليهم كرما وجودا وتفضلا فله الحمد. He said, and Allah the Exalted and Most High hears, sees and knows. His two hands are outstretched. He knew that the creation would disobey him before he created them. His knowledge takes effect upon them. However, his knowledge of them did not prevent him from guiding them towards Islam. He favoured them with it out of his generosity, munificence and favour. So all praise is for him. Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he said in explanation, his saying, وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى سَمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ عَلِيمٌ, and Allah, the Perfect and Most High, hears, sees, and knows. He said, And this is the third type from the types of Tawheed. As what Shahbazan is referring to in the three parts and the three types of Tawheed. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed with regard to Allah's Lordship, and Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed with regard to His sole right to be worshipped. And this is the third type, the third necessary part of Tawheed. Shaykh said, this is the third type from the types of Tawheed. To affirm al-Asma wa sifat, to affirm the names and attributes for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, just as they occur in the Book and the Sunnah. To affirm the names and attributes of Allah, the Most High, just as they occur in the Book and the Sunnah. He said, along with believing in their meanings and whatever they indicate, and not entering into the kayfiyyah, not entering into how they are, because how they are is not known except to Allah. But as for their meaning, then it is something known. So it is obligatory upon you to affirm them and to believe, hold as your creed, what they indicate. Just as Imam Malik said, al-istiwa'u ma'lum, the ascending, Allah Most High is ascended over His throne, the ascending is something known. Shaykh Fawzan said, known in its meaning is known. Wal kayfu majhul, and how is unknown. How is unknown. He's saying, قَدْ عَلِمَ أَنَّ الْخَلْقَ يَعْصُونَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَهُمْ. He knew that the creation were going to disobey him even before he created them. Shaykh Fawzan said, Allah has knowledge of everything. He knew what was going to occur from Iman, true faith, and from Kufr, disbelief, and from obedience and from disobedience, sin. Nothing is hidden from Him. He knew it before He created the heavens and the earth. He's saying, فَلَمْ يَمْنَعْهُ إِلْمُهُ فِيهِمْ أَنْ هَدَاهُمْ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. His knowledge of them did not prevent him from guiding them towards Islam. Shaykh Fawzan said, even though he knew what they would commit from disbelief and from Iman, true faith, then Allah called them to Islam, and He called them to true faith, Iman, and He sent the messengers, and He sent down the books for their guidance, and He knew what they would do. However, from His mercy, He did not just leave them and entrust them to His knowledge about them. Rather, He established the proof upon them, and He gave them ikhtiyar, choice, and mashi'a, will, and qudra, ability. So they are able to act. So if they leave it, if they leave action, then the sin is their sin, and the shortcoming is their shortcoming. And Allah the Majestic and Most High guides all of the creation, the believers and the disbelievers. Then he explains what's meant by guides them. He said, with the meaning that He makes the affair clear to them. And he said that He guides all the creation, the believers and disbelievers, meaning He makes the affair clear to all of them. He said, He the Most High said, وَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ. Of course, the first part of the ayah from Surah Fussilah, 41st Surah, ayah 17, with the explanation. As for Thamud, this famous people, those who disbelieve, the Thamud, he said, as for Thamud, فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ, then we showed them the way. Sheikh Fawzan explains this word. He said, Hadaynahum. Literally, we guided them, showed them the way. He said, meaning, we made it clear to them and directed them towards it. However, they did not accept this. They obstinately rejected and were haughty. Then he quotes the continuation of the ayah, فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى فَأَخَذَتْهُمْ صَائِقَةُ الْعَذَابِ الْهُونِ فَأَخَذَتْهُمْ صَائِقَةُ الْعَذَابِ الْهُونِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Surah Fussilat, 41st Surah, Ayah 17, with the explanation, however, they loved blind error over and above guidance. So the awful blast of humiliating torment seized them on account of the sins that they used to earn. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning on account of what they earned. And it was not just because Allah knew that and decreed it for them. In the punishment that came upon them, Sheikh Fawzan saying, the punishment came upon them, no doubt, not just because Allah knew that what they would do, knew what they were going to do, so therefore the punishment came. He said, rather, not just because Allah knew that and decreed it for them, but rather because of what they actually earned by their choice and their will and their action. Then he said, so guidance, hidayah, is of two kinds. Firstly, hidayatul irshad, the guidance of giving direction. And this is general to the believer and the disbeliever. Hidayatul irshad, meaning guidance of giving direction to the correct way, pointing out what the correct way is. That's general to the believer and the disbeliever. And the second is hidayatul tawfiq, the guidance of being granted the success of accepting that guidance. Sheikh Fawzan said, this is specific to the believers, those who accepted the guidance of Allah and His direction. So Allah grants them the success of its attainment and He makes them firm. Then he said, he's saying, وَمَنْ نَبِهِ عَلَيْهِمْ كَرَمًا وَجُودًا وَتَفَضُّلًا فَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. So he guided them towards Islam, he said, and he favoured them with it from his generosity and his munificence and his favour, so all praise is for him. Sheikh Fawzan said, كَرَمًا مِنْهُ, from his generosity, meaning that he called them and made clear to them and clarified to them from his generosity. And he bestowed favour because of their need of that. And as for Allah, the Majestic and Most High, then He has no need at all of them, whether they disbelieve or whether they believe, whether they obey or whether they disobey. They will not harm Allah, the Majestic and Most High, nor will they benefit Him, because He is Ghani, independent. He has no need at all of them. And this, its benefit or harm, only rebounds upon them. So from His mercy upon them, He made clear to them the way of good and the way of evil. And He gave them strength, and He gave them ability, and He gave them intellects with which they could distinguish between what harms and what benefits. Walhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.